not a lot of good things to talk about after 51-14 outcome. However, we honestly did improve in a lot of areas from week one. It's hard to tell because of the score. But we tackled better defensively, which was something we really talked a lot about over the week and plagued us in the first week against Toledo. We had less mental mistakes. However, still too many to play really good defense. Offensively, I'd say night and day different from where we were week one. Now, the opponent was really good defensively, but we looked like an offense at times. I thought the quarterback distributed the ball well. We didn't turn it over 2 weeks in a row, which is huge for us. That alone is a big start. Doing caught well at times. Still some detailed technical execution things I think that we can still clean up there. And we need to truly be an explosive offense. But a lot of the issues we had offensively, just there were some matchups that weren't in our favor, and we never really were able to gain enough momentum and move the chains on third down against a really good defense. I honestly thought the offensive line held their own really, really well against a very good front and protected our quarterback for most of the night, with the exception just a couple times we broke down. It could have been a lot worse, and honestly, maybe even watching them against Clemson the week before, I thought they got pressure to Watson maybe even more than they did to us in this particular game. So in that sense, I was encouraged with moving forward as the matchups are a little bit more favorable from this point on with some fronts that our offensive line, you know, grew up a little bit. Overall, still too many mistakes on our part. I think self-inflicted mistakes that got to be cleaned up for us to truly be to play at the level that we're capable of. And that's the conversation moving forward. This conversation we had this morning and the one we'll have with the guys is just how do we eliminate those mistakes? Having a quarterback player and a dive player, having a B-gap player, and, you know, who's the vertical player, who's the flat player offensively, you know, kicking the protection the right way, going underneath the dropper as opposed to over the top. Just little things that probably don't sound like a lot, but when you add them on top of each other, they just derail drives or extend drives for the other offense, those sorts of things. And we really need to get a grip on those and eliminate those to truly be to play the way I think we're capable of playing. But other challenges this week are obviously the trip. It's not an easy trip coming off another not easy trip. A short week, you know, we're going to lose a day of prep. And it was a physical game Saturday night, so bodies are pretty beat up. And we got to recover quickly and go play what I think is a really quality football team and quality football program in Utah State. So I'll answer anything you got.
Talk about it a little bit, but overall, I mean, you know, I look at it, would you say you played better against Auburn than week one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. We played better. And I'm not sure we played good. At times we played good. There were some bright spots, but we did play better. We did improve, and really in all three phases. You know, we're really disappointed in week one at kickoff return in terms of how we blocked in one-on-one battles, and we didn't get the opportunity to return kicks this week. But if you watch the tape, we did a much better job technically. We obviously didn't have the balls on the ground offensively that we had week one. We communicated a lot better. We didn't have a lot of communication busts in the back end defensively. Now, we had some technical issues where we didn't play some things correctly, but we communicated. So a lot of things got better. It's just hard to tell because of the outcome of the game and how good the opponent was. But we did improve. We still have more to do.
Are the mistakes you've seen on defense more disappointing or disheartening just because there wasn't an expected learning curve there?
Yeah, a little bit. Joe and I talked a good bit about that last night. It's just that when you got nine guys coming back, basically you got nine guys coming back that were starters, you really only pulled out, I think, that were playing significant snaps, Rocky Hayes and Chris Stone. Everybody else is back. Yeah, we've had some learning curves that we didn't expect. And we've made some adjustments over the offseason schematically to try to defend some things that we weren't very good at defending a year ago. And not sure that maybe there's some confusion there. We're trying to narrow that down and simplify. Obviously, we've had two good opponents, too, so you got to give them credit. They made plays. I mean, the 14 points that they scored off the bat were two I mean, great plays. I mean, they're superhuman plays. You just don't see a one-handed grab and a running back reverse field. Even the ability shown to get the ball out of his hands to the running back was so you got to give him credit. But there are things that we're not doing really, really well that you would anticipate and expect us to be doing well. You know, like I talked about, you know, who's the dive player, who's the quarterback player, and leveraging the quarterback. Tackling in space is something we did really well down the stretch last year. I thought we did a good job of it in the spring. It's not something we're doing great now. It did improve also from week one to week two. We did a much better job there, but still missed some tackles that could have been down on the ground for, you know, really small gains that end up being big plays.
Is some of that kind of adjustments with regard in the secondary with regard to how you defend the pass? Because to my eye, it seems like there's some confusion back there. I don't know.
There was some at times. You know, they put us in some formational sets that created some indecision on coverage checks. And we didn't play well with a couple of things that we saw. A couple were just, I mean, honestly, just guys' eyes, just poor eyes, eyes in the wrong spot. Should be tracking the hip of a guy and their eyes are in the backfield. We, poor discipline, eye discipline, I think. So I think those are the two things that probably got us. I think we were in a coverage, if Joe would tell you, we talked, I think he if he had to do again, there's a coverage that we were in a situation that we took away what we thought we were going to get, but it gave them what they were kind of hanging their hat on. And I think we would probably go back and play them again tomorrow. We changed the coverage that we're calling in a couple down and distances that we kind of learned from. So I think we learned a little bit about the coverage itself and what it's going to be useful for and what it's not. And really weren't exposed in that particular coverage week one.
You mentioned the matchup, the coverage. Was there things that they were doing that was kind of confusing? Because I know last week you were talking about Gus liking the eye candy. Because it seemed like, the touchdown down the sideline, you had a mismatch on linebacker covering the receiver. Did they do things that kind of tried to?
Well, we watched them week one. They got three quarterbacks and you got three different offenses somewhat. We knew that Sean had been named the starter, but didn't know exactly what that meant. And to be honest with you, we had virtually no chance to truly prepare for what we saw offensively. It was, were we going to see Franklin more than we did? Honestly, we thought we'd see Franklin a lot more than we did. Were they going to run the base offense that they ran with Sean the week before, which we obviously prepared for? But most of what we saw was brand new. It's just no way to truly prepare. And so we had to make adjustments as the game moved on. And some of them, we got better at defending things as we went. A couple of the coverage issues we had were things we really had not seen coming in. They just didn't run before. And if I talked to Gus yesterday, basically what it was just went back to the basics and went back to some things that they had worked with Sean before, you know, in the spring and even kind of base install and just tried not to make mistakes, and it played into their favor. But we didn't really get a chance to prepare for those things because we didn't know what we were going to see. So I think there was some confusion in some areas because it's just not stuff we got good reps at during the week.
So does that make it maybe a little easier going into week three, maybe a little more of the known?
You got two games on these guys and there's no quarterback controversy and they've established what they are, and it's very consistent with what they've been a year ago. So in that sense, you'd like to think that we can nail down what to truly defend. And there's always some unknowns that you're going to have to rally to on Saturday. But we'll have a better idea moving forward from this point on of what to expect from an offense. Week one's always crazy. This one was crazy because all the changes that they made. I would like to think that we'll be able to settle our defense down, give them some things to really key in on. It's one of the things I think Joe's done a great job of in the past is, you know, formationally, personnel, situation of the game, really be able to key our defensive guys into things to expect and let them tee off. And, you know, a confused player is not a very good player. And I think a lot of what we saw were not sure what to expect. The sets were different. The way they got to some things were different. And we just didn't match up to it real well.
At the root of the defense's struggles to get consistent stops on third down?
It's a good question. I haven't really gotten a lot of pressure. This was a physical matchup. We struggled to get to them. They're pretty good up front. Struggled to get to them. We had some coverage. I think we had some coverage issues in the back where they put us in some dilemmas as to how to play some routes in the sets that they ran. And like I said, things that we really hadn't seen. Really talked a lot more about what we'd seen on tape, and we got a couple combinations that we were not truly, familiar with. Some of it's physical matchups. We've gotten beaten some one-on-one areas where guys make some plays that we didn't defend very well. So I think if you ask Joe, he would tell you it's a combination of several. Not enough pressure to really make the quarterback uncomfortable and have to cover a little longer than you want to. Some physical play, just one-on-one physical play guys have made. And then we've had some communicational errors in the back end as to how we're going to match up some coverages. So we got to get better at all three.
You said you expect to have Johnston back on Friday?
I do. As of right now, I mean, everything, unless he has some type of setback this week, but everything points as to that's happening Friday.
Worst case scenario, if not, then where do you guys go at that position?
We'll bring Jamal Jones back into the rotation during the week to work. Logan, I thought Moraney did a good job when he was in, and so did Darryl. They didn't play a lot, but when they were in, they didn't have any mental errors and physically protected the ball, and both have worked. So, Warren will take most of the load if Silky's out, and we'll use the other three sparingly based off of what they do well. Just what little bit you saw, both those guys, they did a good job.
I know last year you kind of rotated three, and I know you guys have said that would be the ideal kind of situation now. So if it's only two, you feel good about that?
Yeah.
It's just a small kind of margin for error, I guess, if there's two of them there.
Well, I mean, even last year, Mike went – when Mike was fresh and healthy to go, Mike went. So if a guy develops himself as the guy, then great. With the amount of snaps that we'd like to get moving forward, if we're moving the ball effectively, I still think it's going to take two to three. But I don't want to be without depth either, and I think that's where you need to bring Jamal Jones back in the mix and let him stay up with what we're doing. And that time, he did some really good things in fall camp. I think the biggest issue we've had going forward with him is just the learning curve of truly learning another new system. He'd learn what we're doing with Walt, and not that we've changed everything. It was some things for some new things, and he was a little bit behind, but we'll try to get him caught up. We don't need any more injuries there. We need to stay healthy.
What was the plan for him, Jamal?
Jamal, it was really day-to-day, just see how he developed in fall. And when it came time to start making decisions of how we were going to handle, we had five with Wayway and with Logan and Darryl in the mix. You really didn't have room for six, but with Wayway going down and Silky being a little bit questionable, we definitely need to get him up to speed, and so we'll try to do that this week.
When you look at film, who's impressed you so far? Who's impressed you so far when you really look at
the film? For us? Wow, that's a tough question. It's hard to find anybody that impressed me a lot after getting beat 51-14. But, I'd say Justin Clifton played well. I'd say Griffin Riggs played physically really, really well against some big bodies and made some extra effort plays that are subtle but noticed. And I think Waylon Roberson, I mean, with the exception of just maybe once or twice all night, handled himself extremely well and up against an SEC front. And he did the same thing a week ago. Blaise Taylor has played very, very well at corner. He's been targeted in both games, and he's stepped up and made plays, competitive plays, and batted balls down. I thought one of the best plays he made all year was chasing a guy down and making him snap it again on the 3-yard line. And, I think he's played really well. Offensively, I think the rhythm has been an issue, and so it was hard to tell. But I thought Chad settled down and played a lot better in week two. I thought Justice Hansen came in and did a great job off the bench late and really looked calm and collect about what he's doing. Looper made some tremendous strides, and Chris Booker both in a week You know, when you consider that, you know, both neither one of those guys played for us a year ago. We still got a lot of work to do. Blake Mack has shown up. However, he's still got a lot of work to do, too. So there's some bright spots, just not consistently enough. You know, as I mentioned, I thought the O-line, considering the matchup they were up against, one of the best defensive fronts we've seen, did a really good job. Now, we did make some mistakes and could have played better, but they held up against a really good, solid front, which is encouraging moving forward because we won't see a front like that for the rest of the year.
How do you get Kendall Sanders more?
Well, partner, he had an opportunity to make a great catch, and needs to make that play for us. He needs to become more consistent so we can keep him on the field more. He's still learning to some degree. I think we had a couple opportunities to target him in some one-on-one situations that we didn't. I thought Chad had a couple opportunities to take him, and he chose to push the ball in other areas. I think that's just recognition of where his matchups are. So, you know, make plays when he has an opportunity to make them. Be more consistent himself and doing exactly what we need him to do because he's missed some things in that sense. And I think also just the more Chad plays in the system, he'll recognize where his one-on-one answers are and had a couple opportunities where we could have gone to him and we did not. So a combination really two or three things.
Were you saying Jamal Jones was on scout team? Or
he has been this last week. He has been this last week, so we'll pull him back up.
Okay. Was he going to be redshirted?
Well, he redshirted last year, so it's really just a matter of how many running backs can we get reps. And so with the five that we had, it did not seem any reason to keep a six. I'd rather have him down there running the ball, carrying the ball every day where, you know, he's being able to make guys miss and get beat, you know, get hit a few times and protect the ball. I think he gets more out of that than he does staying down with the offense and not getting any reps. And we'll pull him back up now and start getting him some reps with the offense. But – I never like having a guy just watching, and that's really what he would have been doing. Can't get five guys reps in a week.
You know when Armand's surgery will
be? Armand's probably going to have surgery tomorrow, on Tuesday. Antoine will probably be a month away. We're going to do some rehab on him first. I'm not a doctor, but basically they're going to rehab one injury before they fix the other. He's got two torn ligaments. One of them can heal itself and can be treated. The other one will do better if we do that first. So that's why the surgeries are going to be at different times.
You know who's going to do that surgery?
I'm sure Dr. Swim will. I mean, his crew. I'm not sure exactly if he's doing it or who, but, you know, his group will handle all that.
What challenges will Utah State provide?
Well, Matt does a great job. Wells, the head coach there, is a good close friend of mine. We've played him before. They're going to look a lot like us. I think it's a very equal, even matchup across the board, which should be a good 60-minute slugfest. I think they run the ball really well. Their quarterback loves to run the ball and is good at it, and they move the pocket and extend their throwing game, by time, which makes you have to cover a lot longer. And most of it is to put you in a run-pass conflict, so you got to have great eyes defensively. They throw a lot at you defensively. We got to be prepared for, you know, they kind of base out of a three down, but you see stuff and pressure coming from everywhere. They've got a dynamic kick and punt returner that we're going to have to contain. They got a great home crowd on a Friday night. Hostile. There's a lot of things. You know, it's a tough travel, not an easy trip to drive to Memphis, fly 3 hours. I mean, and another 45-minute drive when we get there. Coming off a short week. So there's a lot of things to overcome, but we've been here before, similar to the trip we took to App State a year ago, and the guys responded and against a really good opponent and played a great game, one of the best games of the year. So we need similar results this week, and we're going to take a very similar approach to the plan. It's a game we can win. It's a tough win on the road against a really, really good opponent who I think spends a lot of quality time in all three phases. They do a great job with special teams. And so we got to be sound there, which we typically are, but it's not a phase that we can overlook. We got to be good in special teams as well.
You guys were 0-2 at this point last year. And went on to have a pretty good year. I mean, does this 0-2 feel any different just because of how the games went, or can you draw comparisons?
You know, it's frustrating the fact that I think we just expect, like you mentioned earlier, that with a veteran defense, you know, we wouldn't be dealing with some of the issues we have. Frustrating the fact that we wanted to see us click offensively earlier than we have. But, you know, 0-2 against two really quality football teams. I think Terry and I were talking. I said, we could have played our best football in these two games and still been 0-2. There's no guarantee that you beat either team, even if we play at our best. They're both quality football teams. So just frustrated that we haven't played our best, I guess, is the only frustration. Not that we're 0-2. Love to be 2-0. Love to be 1-1. But, you know, even playing your best with a quality football team doesn't guarantee that. I think just the frustration is that we've not played our best football yet. Now, that's encouraging because we know it's still ahead of us, and maybe we click in all three areas this week and we do play our best football and can move forward with that. So that's what we're hoping.
It's one of the more difficult, or maybe the most difficult trip as far as logistics and just getting there and playing?
It's tough. There's not an easy way to get there. If we flew out of here and flew directly into there, it'd be a lot easier, but we don't. We had planned to fly directly into Logan, but they're doing work on the runway, so we're going to have to fly about an hour away. So it adds an hour to the trip going and coming. Short week. I think had we played at home and not got back at 7 in the morning on Sunday, you know, it wouldn't be quite as tough. But, you know, it's just stuff you deal with. The schedule is what it is, and we got to overcome it. There's really not much we can do about it other than we'll be fresh and ready to play on Friday night. I think body-wise, physically, we're fortunate that we only lost two and everybody else is just bumps and bruises. I think we'll get Robert Mundy back full speed and healthy and Johnston White full speed and healthy, which will help us. It's a tough trip, but we got to go find a way to win it.
When you've played there before, was the air, is it different? Was that tough?
Altitude and all that? It can be a little bit of a factor. I think we're in good enough shape that it should not be. They're not that far above sea level that you would say that it's a huge disadvantage. And I played there once before. That wasn't the issue. Now it was a foot of snow, and they were better than us when I played there last time. So that was the main problem. Our guys were freezing, and they were just kind of punched us in the mouth. This is a different problem. The weather should be great. It's a night game. Should be cool. Which is different than what we've seen 2 weeks in a row. It's been humid and hot. So honestly, it may play in our favor. And we are in great conditioning shape. I'm not concerned about us having, you know, being able to breathe and run. I think it really, the coolness in a night game is probably a plus for us.
Like you said, even match, you sort of count out the travel, although the app was a pretty good comparison. This is taking your team that you still got some questions about, you know, to a place. Play a team that could come and compete to win this league?
Oh, no doubt. I think they're picked to probably be one of the top two or three teams in their league, and they have been consistently since Matt has taken over. We've seen them before, so they've not changed dramatically from the team we saw before. Now, they've lost some guys, as have we. I think we've changed more than they have from that first game, and it was a hard-fought, physical, well-executed football game by both, and we were lucky to get an overtime win. I think we're a much better football team. I think they do a really good job, and they play physical football, and they're sound, and I expect us to do the same. I just expect it to be a really solid, hard-fought football game. I think the travel obviously plays in their favor, and they're getting to play at home, which everybody loves to do. So we got to go. I think winning a game on the road is tough all the time, regardless who you play, much less a good football team, which we're playing.
You guys put a lot of importance on these kind of out-of-conference games against other G5 leagues. I mean, this is, until a potential bowl game, your last chance this year before that. So, I mean, is there even more importance on that because of that kind of aspect of it, I guess, or?
You know, not something that we talk about as a team. I think you look at those things when you look at your schedule in preseason and you look at it afterwards. But for us, it's just getting better 1 week at a time, and this is the opponent at hand. We need to get on the win column. We need to get on the win column regardless of who it is. I let all that stuff, it'll play itself out, you know, as the season progresses. But we got to get a win. We got to play better and find our best football team, and we haven't done that yet.
It might be tough to gauge because three of these games since you've been here have been against the same team. But, I mean, when you kind of sit down and kind of take a step back and review film and whatnot from some of those games, I mean, you know, you sense something missing from you guys, you know, to kind of preventing you from matching up with, you know, the outside conferences or –
Well, you know, if you look at our outside conference games in the past, you know, obviously the Power Five opponents, we've been outmanned. Toledo is a much bigger, much more physical football team than we were the first two teams. However, I thought that matchup was a lot less in their favor this year. We played a lot more physical. We just didn't tackle well. So I think that it comes from recruiting. I think it was a similar outcome to the La Tech game. They were more physical than we were, and we were. I'd love to say we looked like the football team that had played during the year, but at that point, I think we lost a lot of bullets. They were a really good football and a very physical football team. You go back to the game against Utah State. I thought two evenly matched football teams, and we're fortunate enough to come out with a win. And I think we're two evenly matched football teams going in this year. And I think it's whoever makes the least amount of mistakes and doesn't turn the ball over, has the best chance to win the football game. But I think our out-of-conference matchups get better the more we recruit and build the football team to be a physical, football teams on both sides of the front. And we addressed, I think, the offensive line or the defensive line in a hurry. These offensive line guys, we weren't fixing to all of a sudden become 320, 30-pound guys. It's going to take some time.
Consider the travel and the short week. How much of an advantage do you think home field would be this week? If you could have that game here, as being in Utah's position.
It's hard to put a gauge on home field advantage, but it is big. I mean, you love playing at home now. It's just something, the comfort of not having to travel, being in front of your own fans and all that, that's huge. But
does this week make it even more, though? I mean, when you look at some of those factors?
To me, it's the same. We're not playing on a Thursday, so we still get plenty of time to prepare. One day shouldn't make a significant difference. I think it's a combination of the travel coming off of Auburn and going into a short week. That's where, because typically we would have gotten a practice in Sunday night, and we were really more concerned with body maintenance and rest. And so you lose that there. I don't think it's any more than any other. It's just the combination of the Auburn trip and the Utah State trip on top of each other that presents the biggest challenge.